This Memorial Day on Boxcar Universe, we are honoring those who served with someone who is still serving, Charlie Ellis of Operation Enduring Gratitude. From boots on the ground to tools in hand, he's changing lives. Join us now as we remember, rebuild, and give back.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has searched for ways to shelter themselves from the elements. Over the centuries, these shelters have evolved from bamboo huts to concrete towers. The last few years, there's been a push to save the planet. Are you ready to embark on a more sustainable lifestyle? Look no further. You're about to enter the adventures of container home living. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, contractor, radio and TV personality, and your host for Boxcar Universe, Steve DuBell.
I'm Steve DuBell, host of Boxcar Universe, and here's what's coming up on this week's edition of Boxcar Universe. Charlie Ellis from Operation Enduring Gratitude will be here to tell us how he is giving back to our needy disabled veterans. A few tips from the professionals on how you can give back. All that and more on this week's edition of Boxcar Universe, your home for containers, sustainable lifestyle living. And I want to thank all our service men and women around the world for their service and sacrifice for our country. We also want to thank their families, both past and present, for their sacrifices. Our thoughts and prayers are with you always. But first, up on the show today is Charlie Ellis from Operation Enduring Gratitude. Charlie, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, it's great to have you on the show. And, I checked it out. You know, we had you on the show probably about the same time last year, right around Veterans Day, talking about your project. Fill us in on what's been happening with your organization.
Well, you got to give me a second here to get my Facebook thing going. There we go.
More technology.
Yeah,
you know, these are things that happen, you know, when I always say technology is a wonderful thing when it works.
All right, well, Operation Enduring Gratitude, for those who do not know, we are veterans serving veterans by rebuilding homes and lives. And what that means is pretty much what it says. sometimes simplicity gets complicated. What we try and do is we find veterans that are in need. A couple years ago when we started out, we rebuilt a house, pretty much gutted the interior side of a house. We rebuilt two bathrooms, the kitchen, cleaned up the yard, painted the house, put on a new roof, and quite a bit of work. Took us a little over a year to do that one. But the family was still living in the house when we found it. And since then, we've opened up a couple other little programs in our foundation where we're doing wheelchair ramps. We call that Operation Ramp Up. And you may have heard on the news a little while ago, a Navajo code talker up out of Tuba City, Dan Aki, passed away.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that on the radio, yeah.
Our foundation was fortunate enough to team up with Red Feather Development up there, and we were able to help out on that project. We provided the labor for the wheelchair ramp, the back patio, and some appliances. And the funny thing about the appliances, let's see if I can remember where they all came from. Stove refrigerator came from a World War II Navy veteran. The washer and dryer came from Desert Storm veteran who bought a house from a Flying Tiger veteran who donated the appliances, the washer and dryer. So we were able to take those up north and be able to meet an American hero. And actually, I mean, who's met Navajo code talkers?
Wow. I haven't met one yet. And then they're about gone now.
Yeah, really.
And by one at least in the last couple of weeks. So we've been able to do that. And two of our longest projects is Fred Terry and Jack Cooper. Fred Terry's house was a mobile home that burned down due to a kitchen fire. And most people don't understand about mobile homes. And as people in construction, we all acknowledge that a mobile home is pretty much it's a can of gasoline on wheels. If you get a spark, it's gone.
Boom, yeah.
And when you're 70-something years old, you get a grease fire in the kitchen, you got two options. Start grabbing pictures or save your life.
Save your life.
Wow. Right. So you walk out the door and you watch 70 years of collectible items just burn. And one of the fortunate things we were able to salvage out of that fire was the funeral flag from his father from World War II, received a Silver Star during the Battle of the Bulge. And so we have that flag. We have some of Terry's or Fred Terry's uniforms. So we're going to try and put together a nice little package for him when we finally somehow secure a mobile home.
Oh, okay.
And for time's sake, a mobile home's easier to produce than a house. And that leads us to Jack Cooper's house, which was a total loss. The house burned to the slab, all the way down to the concrete. There were still some 2x4s and such still standing up, but we had to take it all down to the concrete.
Oh, wow.
And there has been a tremendous amount of volunteer labor on this project. We've worked with several other veteran service organizations. The Veteran Directory has been real good to us, helping us find resources. We've actually had Habitat for Humanity, Central Arizona. They've been out looking at this. But it's been taking almost 3 years to get to this point. And the reason for the length of time is everything is donated. Now, Jack, he's retired Navy veteran from Vietnam, 20 years in the Navy. And he's taking money out of his pocket, big money, to help rebuild this. So he's not just sitting there going, gimme, gimme, gimme. He's paid to have his well drilled because his well went dry. I mean, he's a walking country music song. His well went dry. His dog died the year before. His wife has passed away. I mean, he's been hurting pretty bad.
Wow.
And, you know, people say, well, isn't that the fire? It's a tragic thing. And I said, no, it's just an event. It's a single event in his life. The tragedy is sitting there for 3 years waiting for help. And so we are trying to make that happen.
So what you're telling us, Charlie, this is all about donations.
It's all donations.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I called up Desert Building Supplies a couple weeks ago because we just wrapped up the electrical and insulated the house, called for our pre-drywall inspection, and they passed us and said, go ahead and hang the rock. So I called Desert Construction Supply. They're going to kill me because I don't have their name off the top of my head. But if you go to hashtag get Jack back home, you'll see the images, the information's out there. So anybody that's helping us out, we try and get that information back out to the public. We'll let them know that they're serving our veteran community. So I called the supply house and said, hey, can you help us out? And in my world, I don't have the contacts that you have, Steve. Cold call. I grab a phone book and start going through my list. I got my little, hi, I'm this guy, and this is what I do, and I got the little cold call cell, and if I get a bite, I'll jump. Sometimes people will say, well, can you send us a list of everything that you're doing? Yeah, sure. Click, hang up the phone.
Really?
Because I think that's, and I could be way off base, and I probably missed a lot of opportunities, but I need the guy who says, yeah, I want to help. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a hold of our drywall guys, and I said, can you help us out on this? And he says, well, how do I know this is getting to the veteran? So I told him, I said, you got a pencil and paper? He goes, sure. And I go, write this information down, 918 East Circle Mountain Road, New River, Arizona. He goes, what's that? I go, that's where the house burned down. But not so much as that's where the house burned down, but there's a trailer on that property, a little fifth wheeler that this man has been living in for the last 2 years, looking out the window, trying to see if his house is growing. And he goes, that's where he lives? I go, yeah. That's the project? I go, yeah. He goes, interesting. I go, yeah. Go knock on his door. Go over whenever you want. He lives there. So if you go knock on his door, you verify personally that this man is a Vietnam veteran, 2 tours of duty in Vietnam. And if you're comfortable that this is the veteran, grab your pencil and your paper and do a takeoff and let's get some work done. He goes, no, that's good enough. He goes, so many people ask for donations, but they won't tell me where they're going. I go, I think that's one of the cores of what I'm trying to do is if you've ever given anything to our foundation for a veteran, I could take you to it. I'm not going to send you I'll send you a picture if you want to just see a picture, but if you want to verify that piece of donation got where it went, I'll take you there.
Very good.
Yeah. And that makes a difference because a lot of people right now in the nonprofit world are not exactly,
shall we say,
on the up and up,
up and above board.
Right. And so I want to restore that. There's a lot of nonprofits out there that are doing good. And I want
for us.
There's a lot of good guys out there, but we're suffering because the bad guys are crushing us and taking your money in the meantime.
Yeah, I hear you. All right.
We're going to have more with Charlie Ellis right after the break. I want everybody to hang tight.
You're listening to Boxcar Universe. Hi, I'm Steve Dubell from Ideal Home Improvement. The uncertainty of our economy is very troublesome. Interest rates are rising and inflation is high. The utility cost of energy is forever rising. The good thing is that we as homeowners can do something about our energy bill right now and in the future. Solar energy is literally the best investment you can make at this moment and the most likely to steady your finances through uncertain times. Think about this. If you could have locked down the cost of your energy bill 10 years ago, would you have done it? I think your answer would be yes. Think of the savings you could be enjoying right now as your neighbors who don't have solar are at the mercy of the utility companies. Let Ideal Home Improvement review your energy bill and see what a solar system on your home can do for your family and budget. Just give us a call at 602-332-6203. Or email us at steve@idealhomeimprovementaz.com. Let me help you start saving today.
Hi, I'm Sean with Mr. Electric, and I have a tip to help make your life better. One important reminder is to call a qualified electrician when you have frequent problems with blowing fuses or tripping circuit breakers. And when a circuit breaker trips or a fuse blows, it's indicating that you have a problem with some other part of the circuit. If your breaker trips more than once, you should have a qualified electrician come out and take a look at it. Contrary to what may be acceptable, you really shouldn't try to continuously try to reset the breaker because there may be a problem somewhere else down the circuit and you could be causing a fire hazard. There could be a loose connection or some other form of problem on the circuit, and every time you reset the circuit breaker, it could be causing a spark at the other end. We recommend having a qualified electrician come out and check on the condition of the circuit and make sure that the circuit does not have any problems. And it could just be a bad breaker also, but you definitely want to have a qualified electrician check that out. To have someone come out from our team may only take a portion of a day, but it could potentially save you a lot of money or your life. And that's just another way Mr. Electric has the power to make your life better.
Here with Charlie Ellis from Operation Enduring Gratitude, and we're talking about some of the great things that he's doing for our veterans. And you know, that's one of the great things that, you know, that's, I think that's one thing that we can all agree on. It doesn't make a difference what political persuasion you're at, that, you know, our veterans, you know, really go above and beyond the call of duty to help us have all our freedoms. And, you know, it, sometimes...
Can I give you a point of view?
Sure.
As a veteran, yes. I feel about... You know, it's, I will defend the right of my people in this country to fuss, fight, call each other names, and do whatever, because that's their, you know, born right to fuss and feud at each other. Anybody walk in from another country and try to play the game here, I'm in your yard, I'm going to kick your butt, because my people are sacred, my people get their right to cuss and swear at each other. Don't come in the game. It's their right to have all that political goings on, but nobody else step in to my yard, because that's my people and that's their right to do that. Yep. That's what I'll defend to my death.
Well, you know, it's just we hear so many things going on, you know, and one of the things that we do need to change is we have to do a lot more work for our veterans who are here that have served our country, and for whatever, you know, just besides all the great things that, you know, Charlie's doing with his organization. But, you know, from a medical standpoint, some of the things that Dan, you and I, we've talked about this at length, that go on, I'm just, you know, they're like, minds, you scratch your head, like, you know, how could some of this stuff go on, not just to our veterans, but to anybody, you know, who needs medical attention? That, I mean, why aren't we taking better care of our veterans?
And kind
of
like me going through and being administered by the system and in its hospital this week, and some of the stuff that I went through there at the VA hospital myself this week. How can they be so inept?
Well, you know,
that's the only word.
Yeah,
I was there. I had to spend 24 hours with them, and it's just inept. They keep cleaning it up.
How do you fix that? You know,
let me answer that question. How can they be inept? It's not how can they be. It's how can they be left inept.
That's right. How come they're still there?
It's one thing when an individual doesn't know what they're doing or does it wrong, but it's another thing when a superior allows it and leaves
that's
it
right.
unattended.
A culture of I don't care.
It's a culture of ignoring.
Yeah.
And that comes from an I don't care. And the political machine behind the points of resolution for the VA system have done absolutely nothing.
I know
and
it.
And these are the same.
This is internet, right?
Yes, yes.
These things happen.
All right. Here goes your PG rating.
They want to play war, but don't want to pay the bill.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so that is the problem. And God bless everybody that's making that move. The veterans are making – they're beating the drum. And, you know, sometimes that if you just beat a drum to make noise, you're just making static. And people will tune out static. And that's why a lot of the problems just get swept under the roof. It's like, it's just that old guy again. You know,
cranky old guys again.
And so what the reality from what I see, and I see very little of it, even though I'm starting to get my my feel of this thing, those that are making the noise need to do it in a consorted way and make music out of that noise and make an intelligent presentation instead of just one guy shaking a flag, one guy shaking a fist. You got to do it right. You got to get organized and you got to get cooperative. But that leads us to the next dilemma. The veteran community does not like to organize. And these guys, they're the strongest community out there going, oh, yeah, make me. Make you what? Make me get involved. And it's hard. It's very difficult. Your VFWs suffer from this. The old guard's struggling with the new guard coming in. We've been fighting a war for 16 years. And the enduring freedom guys are struggling with the World War II guys. And
the Vietnam guys are just now getting recognized.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that... There's a big internal struggle there, but when they organize, they're unstoppable. Just ask Germany, ask Japan, ask the Russians.
Why are you saying that?
That they're unorganized.
Germans and the Japanese guys, they're good at it?
No, we kick the crap out of them when we organize. And that's the thing. When our troops organize, we are the unstoppable force that's freed the world time and time and time again.
Right.
But when we disorganize, we are that rock that will not be moved, and it's a change that needs to come. A lot of the leadership that I've talked to are all in agreement with that, and they struggle with it. My point to that is hold the line. Just like you did when you wore that uniform, hold the line and stay focused, because there's another guy coming up who says, I'll hold the line with you, and we build the team and keep making these changes, because the community's strong. It's the largest subculture in America that crosses over every subculture. So we got all races, all colors, all intellects, all genders, all gender benders. We got everything. We got everything.
And
the thing is what matters is we wore the same uniform. We said the same.
Made the same commitment.
Wow. We all bled the same blood. And we all lined up to do it again and again and again.
Right.
And so when we organize, we are that unstoppable force.
Well, you know, we've got a caller online right now. We want to go to him. Tom, Charlie was telling us about his project that he's working on right now that I think you might be able to help with. Because, Charlie, why don't you fill Tom in a little bit about that, your current project, and see if there's a good match here.
Well, Tom, one of the things that we did, as I was talking a little bit about drywall, after the drywall contractor offered to supply the drywall, he asked who was going to hang the sheetrock. And I told him, well, Pete King Drywall was one of the guys who helped us out on our original makeover. And he goes, I know Pete King. I'm one of their biggest suppliers. Tell them I'm supplying the rock, and they'll install it for you. As if he's going to tell them they're going to install it.
Wow.
And they did. So they came out. They sent out four installers, hung the sheetrock in 2 days on a 1,900-square-foot house.
Wow.
And we're talking 4x8 sheet goods or 5/8 rock. So fast, heavy, heavy sheetrock. And we just finished up the texture on it today. My exterior doors, I'm going going to try and pick those up probably today or maybe Monday and get them out there. So the only doors I'm missing on that thing is the garage door itself. And today I'll be doing the trim work, start installing base and case. We've had some doors donated, so we're going to try and reassemble the door frames.
Well, if it's any consolation as a veteran, I will go ahead and supply the door and the time.
Okay, let's go.
You just caught him. Huh? What?
Let's go up there right now.
Wow, Tom. Thank you so much. That is super.
All right, so you're leaving the show now, Charlie, right?
I got to go.
Charlie's got to go.
Show's over. Tom, where are you at?
That chair just swiveled and there's nobody there.
And you know, the funny thing on that, Tom, is number one, thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you. But that seems to be one of the things that I've it just happens. People understand the value of serving a veteran, and they give. When they know that where they're giving is going where it's intended, they open up their hearts first, and then their wallets follow them. So first thing we got to do is get their mind open, get them that information. Then it hits the heart, and then the wallet follows. So it's not a hard process. I just got to find the right people, and Steve and you are those guys. So.
Here we are.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, you can't help but not be moved when you sit down in front of a veteran and they tell you and they share some of their stories of when they were in the service, and just knowing, especially a veteran that's been injured, and the things that they share, and you know that they are all the ones I've ever spoken to, they're not angry. They are more than dedicated to their country, to be able to help serve their fellow man. And, you know, your heart goes out to them. You just want to do anything and everything you can, especially around a holiday season, to make them, you know, enjoy the holidays and be thankful for what they have.
Hey, Steve, do you know if they've already chosen that veteran to help out?
I don't know, but I will be talking with my field supervisor actually next week. I can check on that.
Okay, because as contractors, my drywall is textured and sanded already. I'm starting base, so you know the next step, base case and shelving, you know my next step is going to be to paint it. And we're staring at the finish of the house. We're just 30 days out. Kingswood Cabinets are building all my custom cabinets. I need countertops. I need tile. We actually have the tile, but I need installers to install it. Thin set, we've talked to Habitat for Humanity Central Arizona. They're looking at their suppliers to see if they can tap some resources. So,
yeah, some trained tradespeople to come in and knock it out.
Right. That's skilled labor.
Yeah.
When I get offered volunteer labor, I said, "Well, volunteer labor means we got to do it twice." And I say this with all the right mindset and heart intended, that I can't get anything done with volunteers, and I can't get anything done without them.
That's true. Right.
And,
that's true.
And as a contractor, the mindset is you have to assign the task to the right person.
That's right. The right skill level.
When they show up, their hearts are in the right places. But if they don't know how to swing a hammer, somebody's going out of this thing in an ambulance. So we got to make sure we do this right.
But swinging a hammer is one thing, but swinging it at your hand is another.
Right. Yeah, they can all swing it. And, you know, so it's fantastic that we're where we're at. Jack's getting happy. So I'm trying to promote the hashtag Get Jack Back Home. And I've attached it to our videos. I've attached it to some of our pictures. We're going back out this Saturday. Well, today I'm going out to start the trim work. Next Saturday we're going out to dig some footers for some little planters out in the front yard. We've got to get some water lines pushed out to the oleanders. So we've got Eric from Dig It out there. He's going to be digging for us. Going to reach out to some of my local landscapers, see if they can run the water lines. And Tom, I'll get your number from Steve off air, and we'll coordinate that install.
Well, sir, yes.
Absolutely. Tom, we can't thank you enough for for joining in and doing your fair share. And I know that that helping like this is very near and dear to your heart, and I can't thank you enough.
Yes, because as a veteran, it's only strong will that we support those that support us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And going forward, you know, we're going to be able to try and do as much as we can and get the word out. And I'm glad I could be mechanism to be able to
the conduit.
Thank you to put us to put you two guys together and be able to do that. And I'm sure this is just probably the first of many things that you're going to be able to help each other with. So that's a really great thing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much. And Tom, you know, you deserve a big round of applause. Yes, and a little bit of cheering.
You got two sound effects.
Yeah,
how about
there
that?
There you go. Hey, that's
special.
There you go. Very special. Hey. All right. Tom, have a great weekend. We look forward to talking with you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right.
So what did he donate again? A door?
He's going to donate the garage door and the installation
the garage
for
door.
This
okay.
for the
that's
house
huge.
That Charlie's doing. I mean, that's huge. That's a good chunk of money.
That's a great amount of money. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I can't express, this is so wild of an experience for me because I have people that will donate a little bit here and a little bit there, but when you find the right people, and that's just about being persistent, just keep on keeping on, and you find people that really want to do the big stuff.
Yeah.
And I try and focus on what it is that your passion is and what you want to do, and I assign that task to that person because most of us got into our industry, got into our trades. In the beginning, we fell in love with it. Then it became a job. Then it became a task. And then it became drudgery. And then it became a curse.
But then for me, so, I turned it into something to teach others with.
Right.
And so that's the ultimate.
Right.
When you've actually driven yourself far enough that you actually can teach it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do is reverse that feeling of it being a curse by getting them all the way back to the very beginning about service. You know, when we were all kids, everybody asked us, so what do you want to be when you grow up? Most people said, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. Right. I want to be an army guy. All three of those are service-oriented professions. And because life takes us down whatever roads we go on, good decisions, bad decisions, or whatever the collections would be, we end up where we're at. And I want to tell people, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
How about you come out here and be that guy? Come out here and serve. Come out here and serve those that have served you.
Feel good and give again.
Yeah, we are veterans serving veterans.
Right. I mean, that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
It's unmatched.
You know, absolutely.
We're going to take our operation ramp up to the next level. Cal Portland is one of our big sponsors on that. When we did this past July 2nd, we did 3 wheelchair ramps in one day with 30-something volunteers. I embedded a couple skilled laborers. Once again, you got to have it. Because if volunteer painters mess up your paint, you paint over it.
That's right.
They mess up concrete. You need jackhammers, trucks,
it's a
bobcats.
It's a little bit more.
Very unforgiving. So, yeah. And we'll do the same thing this time. And they appreciate it because volunteers want it done right. They don't just want to slap stuff out there.
Sure.
But one of the things we've done is I've developed a technique called the super ramp. VA hospital will provide wheelchair ramps. And if you've ever seen a VA ramp, they're 36 inches wide, 42 inches long, and they move every time you walk on them because
that's
they're
right.
loading them, and they're just kind of there. And God bless you if you need one and you get one, but if we come to your house and we find you, you get concrete.
That's the only way to go.
It does not move. And the very first recipient of the super ramp was a Vietnam veteran who was wounded in Vietnam, obviously. I think it was 60% partially disabled from the war. And then March of this year, he got in a car wreck, rolled his car. He was hit by some young kid, and he became permanently disabled. And when we found his need, because I get out and I talk, if you walk slow enough, I'm going to drive you nuts with my stories. So I gave a story to this guy gave it to another guy, this guy, blah, 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 so on and so on. A lady up in Chicago called me and said, hey, my sister needs one of those ramps. So we bounced phone calls back and forth. So somebody from Arizona talked to somebody in Chicago, somebody from Chicago came, returned a phone call back to me, and we were able to provide this ramp. Now, the ramp runs from the front door of the house, right? All wheelchair ramps have to be zeroed out at the threshold.
Right.
So mine runs from the front door of the house all the way to the city sidewalk. There is nothing out there but concrete. It's over 300 square feet of concrete.
Wow.
So it goes from the front door to the city sidewalk, and then it makes a return back over to the driveway. And from talking to people, what I'm understanding is when people in wheelchairs park their vehicle, you have to park that car just right, back it up, move it back. They got to kind of
I've seen guys like that.
You got to get it in the sweet spot.
Right. Now that sweet spot is the driveway. Just park your car and get out. And what that does is some of my volunteers are like, my uncle went through this and my aunt, they fight every time they park. And so what happens is that emotional strain of coming home, the battle begins just getting home. They walk through the door, they're angry. Here, they go, okay, I'm just going home.
Right.
And we're bringing that peace of mind immediately. So
wheelchair
ramp is coming. We're also stepping up a little bit with the curbside appeal program. My buddy Dwight Amory at Maryvale Revitalization Corporation is the king of the West Valley. And so when the kings are successful, if you repeat what they're doing, you honor them by replicating their work. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it in Glendale, though, just slightly north. We're using the Glendale PD to help us locate our veterans who need curbside appeal, because one of our hardest things to do is to identify veterans that want or need wheelchair ramps. And I have no PhD, even though my stories are usually piled high and deep. but I really think I had a hard time finding veterans who would say, I need that ramp. And I think it's because they won't self-identify, because I need a ramp means I have a problem, I need help.
Right.
I know
that. We're back to that stubborn veteran who says, the hell with that, I can do this.
I went through my year of stubbornness this year. I understand that.
Yeah,
but if you tell a guy, hey, we're going to give you about a $3,000 paint job on your house, oh, okay, my house needs help, not me.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that becomes our open door on how we find the needs for the wheelchair ramps. So we got curbside appeal, wheelchair ramps. We got a food drive that we worked through with our high school that I'm a board member of for WestMEC. 44 high school campuses are participating. Well, they're not fully participating because we're just starting to get this machine rolling. Houses, and we're getting it done.
That's great.
And one real fast one, because it didn't come up, but on the election, since we talked elections and erections, Richard Flores off of 69th Avenue and Encanto, we rebuilt two kitchens. It's a big house. Two bathrooms, his kitchen, front yard, backyard, painted his house. And we did this with the help of Greater Hands on Phoenix, which came to us as a referral from the Veteran Directory, which came to us as a referral through MRC. So when the veteran communities are sincere, we work together, we support each other, because your cause is different than mine, different than his and his, but the end game is still our veterans.
Right.
So it's very much Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. One's wet, one's in the air, and so on and so on. The end goal is defend the Constitution.
That's right.
So we're serving veterans in the community, and we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for money.
Because
we can't do it without it.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit. How could our listeners contact you, Charlie?
My email address is charlie@operationenduringgratitude.com. Emails are a fantastic way to get a hold of me. The best way to get on the volunteer list is text the keyword support OEG to the number 24587. That puts you in the automated system. I am the guy who runs that automated system. So if it goes off at 2 a.m,
I'll catch you in the morning.
I could take a punch.
That's what it does. He'll be there taking a call at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
Charlie, thanks so much for being on the show and sharing your story. And good luck with all those endeavors. And
my pleasure.
I'll get you that information for Tom. And we'll see what else we can do to help.
All right.
All right. Charlie Ellis, Operation Enduring Gratitude.
You're listening to Boxcar Universe.
Improve your home's energy efficiency by calling iFoam, your comfort and efficiency insulators. They are the premier foam and bat insulation specialist serving Phoenix's residential and commercial community. As a proud sponsor of Boxcar Universe and part of the Ideal Energy Team, iFoam is here to keep your home or business cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter, and save you money all year long. Our advanced insulation solutions seal every crack and crevice for maximum comfort and energy savings. Call iFoam today for your free inspection at 623 401 3626 or visit us at ifoam.com. So what's in your attic?
Looking to transform your space? With over 30 years of construction experience and featured on radio and TV, Ideal Home Improvement and Legacy Custom Homes AZ does it all. From repairs, remodeling, and restorations to new builds, container homes, and container pools, plus cutting-edge solar systems to help homeowners save money on their utility bills. Hi, I'm Steve Dubell. Let us help you design and build your dream home with the expertise that comes from decades of experience in the business. Call me today at 602-332-6203 or email me at steve@idealhomeimprovementaz.com to get started. Remember, Ideal Home Improvement and Legacy Custom Homes AZ, where your dream home becomes reality. Don't wait. Call today.
Hi, I'm John Weisbach, co-host of FYI Network's hit TV show, Tiny House Nation. Now, people all over the country are downsizing, and tiny homes are all the big rage. But remember, even tiny homes need repairs, and left unattended, those tiny problems become big problems. Don't let that happen to you. Know what makes your home tick.
All right. We want to thank Charlie Ellis for being on the show today from Operation Enduring Gratitude. He does some great, great work. And recycling, you know, awareness, it's been around for like 30-some years. People have turned around and said, when the recycling, shall we say, movement, you know, started happening, people started thinking about what you could do and how we could do it, how we could save money, how we could reuse a lot of the materials that we would normally just throw away and go into a landfill. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, and when I got into being a general contractor doing remodeling, the one thing that I wanted to do was save as much as I could that was still usable. And that's why we have such a great partnership with Stardust Building Supplies, because they are in the need of what I can find.
Repurposing.
You know, repurposing cabinets and stuff. We've got a project that we're going to be doing here. There's nothing wrong with the cabinets. They are less than 20 years old, which is the criteria that Stardust has, that you, if it's less than 20 years old and it's good in good shape, obviously, we could dismantle it and reuse it. And a person who has, you know, a low-income family that maybe has needs in need of cabinets.
Those are perfect things for Charlie, if you think about it.
Or something for Charlie, something that they could donate for Charlie to one of the projects that he works on. Because, you know, just because it's old and maybe somebody wants to freshen up their house doesn't mean that, those cabinets can't be reused. Now, one of the things that is it's tough to reuse in that whole scheme of things is if you have any granite on there already, because most of the time, you know,
it's special design, special leveling,
right,
the whole
thing.
And
bit, you can't get it, you can't reuse it unless, of course, you're resizing and reorganizing the way the cabinets look and the piece is big enough. Well, then you could always go back and get it refabricated. But the problem is, if it's too big, like we did one about a year ago, where it was a big kitchen, we were able to actually save three of the big pieces that had the only one it was in the kitchen. The only one that we couldn't save was the corner, because they had cut it in such a way where we couldn't drive sheetrock screws up through the substrate from underneath to actually get them to break the bond loose between the construction adhesive and the granite in the subtop. And just sometimes it's just too much. You could drive a zillion screws in here and it's never going to break. So the only way you're going to get it out is you're going to have to break it.
That's right.
So, and for those of you who ever wanted to remove granite, that's the secret how you do it.
You don't advise recycling granite, is what you're saying, Jim.
Well,
right?
It's tough to recycle it. If you break it, it's toast. You might as well trash it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you could save the piece along with the counters, okay, and the way it is, yes, somebody might come along and be able to do that, because you never know. So, for instance, if somebody is in need of a short piece of granite and they can't, you don't want to buy a full slab. Full slab could cost you you know, $900, $1,000 or even more. But if you need a small piece and you go to a place like Stardust and they've got something that will work for you.
And you can use it like for an island.
Yeah, for an island or maybe a bathroom vanity or a laundry room top or something like that. Something that's not too big and the width's the same. You could buy it for a whole lot less than purchasing a slab.
Or your man room.
Or your man cave.
Do they have like a showroom or something, Stephen, where you go in and see all the stuff they have that they've recycled that
most,
you can get for?
If you are looking for a small piece of granite, what you need to do is contact a lot of the granite fabricators in the valley. And you could easily find them. Who's ever dealing with granite has a fabricator. And they have, just like when you're in need of a car part and you don't want to go buy a new one, where do you go?
Junkyard.
You go to the boneyard.
Yeah.
Junkyard. Okay. Well, they call it the boneyard.
Sure.
You go to the boneyard and you look, and you would be totally surprised if you go to the boneyard and see what they have. Not just small pieces, because don't forget, I've gone there looking for stuff and then for a customer, and then all of a sudden I see these huge pieces that just have like a small chunk out of them. And I'm like, how could this be a remnant? And they say, well, you know, depending on what they needed, they had to buy another slab because they only needed a small piece, and all this, like three quarters of it is wasted. So they just can't use it. So it goes in the boneyard. So you could find, I mean, some of the stuff that's left over there is quite attractive. And I would say if I was redoing something like that, that's one of the first places I would go to if I needed something small. You know, like somebody, for instance, somebody who has a cultured marble top in a bathroom. That could be some of these, like these two bowl countertops in cultured marble. They're roughly, in fact, I measured one the other day this week, 7 feet long, okay? Standard depth, 22 and a half usually, or, you know, from the standard depth of the piece. Plus, you've got to figure in a 4-inch backsplash. So if you go to the boneyard and you find something that's similar and will allow you to do, have that, cut it, have the edging done to it along with the splash, you know, you saved a boatload of money. That money that you save in buying the material could be used towards the refabrication of the piece. So it's a win-win. So we want to just let everybody know, save money and recycle. That's what it's all about. All right, we're going to be talking a little more about some other ways that you could recycle.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Boxcar Universe.
Organization is a big deal in most areas of the home, but nowhere is it more important than the laundry room. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. The laundry room is one of the busiest areas in the home, and yet they're usually not that large. So here are a few tips to maximize their efficiency. Create a series of hamper-sized shelves or cubbies to make sorting clothes by color easier and more efficient. You can arrange them vertically or horizontally depending on your layout. You can never have too much shelving, so consider adding some up near the ceiling. A shelf that is flush with the tops of door casings can run all the way around the room and provide lots of extra storage, plus a handy place to mount a closet rod for hanging clothes. Tall, shallow shelving above or adjacent to the washing machine is also a good idea for detergent, bleach, and other laundry products. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
And we are back, and you're listening to Boxcar Universe right here from the beautiful and palatial Boxcar Studios here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Now, how do you get rid of the yard waste? I still haven't figured that out. You got to call the city, right, to schedule an appointment.
For yard waste,
well, I'm trimming my palm trees and all that.
Well, you got the quarterly pickups.
What?
You have quarterly pickups in the neighborhood. The city comes by every quarter. They come by with their big truck and they get the big payloader. Pick out all the stuff. That's why you ever go through these neighborhoods, then they see these big chunks where people put out old furniture, you know, green stuff that they've tripped from the palm tree and all this, sitting like clumps in the neighborhood. Then you know that there's a pickup coming. From the city shortly,
okay.
And they pick it all up.
Then put your junk out.
Well, Chandler tells you got to set an appointment for it. Does that make sense?
You should check and see if they have a normal, regular day where they go through all your neighborhood and pick up stuff.
Yeah, just go to probably Chandler.gov and see when they have bulk collections.
Yeah, bulk collections, right.
Okay. What do you do with it in the meantime? Put it out on the curb?
No, you keep it in your backyard till a few days before they come, and then you drag it out at the end of your driveway and leave it on the street.
Okay, and be careful of those palm leaves. Holy cow,
yeah,
those things are sharp.
They'll rip you up.
Poke your eye out. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. See, it's IHIU, man. Here we go.
See, you learn that every week. Every week.
Right. And if you got some cool stuff in your junk, then, that night, most of it will be all picked out.
Yeah, they'll strip you.
Yeah, the good stuff. The junkers will come through and take out what they want.
Yeah, that's right.
You're recycling already.
Yeah. You're helping out the neighborhood.
That's right.
Exactly right. So,
people that rely on having good stuff and other people's stuff, they pick the stuff on the side of the road and off they go.
You recycle already. Now, when you think about it, like when Linda Hammond was here, when we were talking about garage sales, okay? Think about all that stuff you had in the garage. What is she doing with it when she puts it out? Yeah, it's a garage sale. But think about it, in essence, what it is. You're recycling stuff that you had to someone else. That's exactly right.
Boom!
Boom. There you go.
I want to thank all our listeners for listening to Boxcar Universe every week. You know, as we say, we are the cutting-edge information source on container homes and container pools. And we're always available at our email address at steve@boxcaruniverse.com. And also, depending on where you are listening to us, whether you're on our website of boxcaruniverse.com or any podcast player, you could hear us weekly. And remember, let us containerize your lifestyle. Have a great weekend.
You're a great American. I love you.